Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together, that your Holy Spirit is with us. And Lord, as we come together, Lord, you minister to each one of us by your Spirit, by your, direction, your guidance, speaking to us, quickening the words, enabling us to see and understand, Lord, if our heart is open, Lord, that we may be willing, Lord, to open our heart, Lord, open our ears, become sensitive to what your word says, and not to fit it to what we want to hear, but to, Lord, receive it as the truth and as God speaking to us. Lord, that we may not be self-deceived, but we may just grow more and more into understanding, into wisdom, and into, Lord, your truth. We praise and thank you for that, because we know this is your promise. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do with us, and we believe it, and we allow him to direct us and guide us in the path God wants us to have. We thank and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 All right. So we have been looking at different things here. The connecting, essentially connecting the time we are in. We are to where. What does that mean to us? It's no use to talk about prophecy, talk about what's going to happen, and just have information. God never give us information to inform us. God give us information so that we can do things, so that we can apply the word, so that we can be prepared for the things that are coming, and be able to do the things that he wants us to do. Unless we understand, unless we, logically, perceive the situation and the step we have to take and how to go about doing it and the way he works, then it's just information that without application, is just useless. Just makes you feel like you're somebody, but you're nobody, because you're going to just be like to everybody else. So the idea is God wants us to grow into our understanding and our spiritual place, become closer and closer to Jesus. And by the knowledge of him, we get all the things for life and godliness, not just by, just quoting scriptures. We have to understand, and we have to know how to apply them to our life. And this is really the important step, the important part that we have to realize, is that, when we read scripture, we just shouldn't read as information, but as instruction that we have to put in to work for us. And we have to take it seriously, because often they imply decisions, they imply steps for us to take. Okay, so we have to understand those things. We have to understand what they involve. The important thing is the understanding how to connect with God, with the Holy Spirit especially, and how God, the Holy Spirit, guides us into the things we had to do in a way that is practical. You see, this is what Jesus said repeatedly, especially at the end of his ministry, that, is to your advantage that I go away. I mean, lots of people said, oh, it would be nice to have Jesus here. Well, I'm sorry, that's not what Jesus said. That is an unscriptural statement, because what we should be thinking is, now is much better than having Jesus here. We have the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that guides us personally, And you know, that is much is to our advantage. And that's why he had to do that. He is not this way, it's everywhere and needs to be. And he helps everybody that needs to be helped. And it's not much different from when Jesus was around and people were either listening or not listening to him. And now the Holy Spirit being around, being actually more than around, being in us, and directing everybody, and what people do is either listen or not listen. Nothing has changed. Only now it's a much bigger scale. Now it's involves everybody that has the Holy Spirit inside. So, and so it's so important to understand what and how the Holy Spirit works in us. Because even people that are used by God through the gift of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that they understand how to connect with the Holy Spirit, because there are two completely different things. You can use by God through the gift that are to minister to other people. But that doesn't mean that you can receive yourself. And we can see that happening over and over again. But people have been used in ministry, especially in the past, supernaturally. But they, when they came to themselves, they weren't able to get too much for themselves. And they struggle to receive, because they just operated in the gifts instead of operating in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so this is really the way God works today. Want to work today, you know, not just through the gifts that are given to minister to people so that they can grow, the one that cannot receive themselves. Okay, but that's not really what the important thing. God wants everybody to be able to connect with him and operate with the, out of that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You know, talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, or, you know, fellowship, you could almost translate it as union or communion with the Holy Spirit. That's probably even better. Okay, you two, you and the Holy Spirit are in communion, working together, and you are the physical part of the of God operating on earth. And he wants you to learn to function that way, because this is what he has chosen. And that's what he's trying to produce, especially for the end time. You know, he's not just trying to get some people to go to heaven. He's trying to prepare many brothers of Jesus operating down here. And that is what's going to be manifested at the time when Jesus comes. So, you know, there has to be some breakthrough, both in understanding and revelation and moving into that dimension. And this is, you know, I'm talking about brothers, you know, can be male and female. It's no difference, that, you know, it's just the same. It's no, you know, God doesn't make a difference from that point of view. Doesn't make a difference on any of the physical things. Okay. But the idea is that, you know, he wants people to become able to connect with the Holy Spirit and to have the Holy Spirit operating through them. It's a completely different thing. This is why, for example, you know, even for healing, okay, you can have a healing ministry and big things happening, but you may know sometimes lots of people that not can get it for themselves. And I think that's not God's best. And that's not what God wants for this time we are in. He wants us to learn to connect with the Holy Spirit, get the direction where we need, be able to transfer the power of God that is inside them, because the Holy Spirit is inside them, and the physical, so that they are the first one to receive. And that, you know, It means also in many different ways, hearing, understanding, connecting, but also walking in divine health, in victory. Now, even Paul, if you remember what I said last Sunday, said, I know that I have obtained it. By the way, the last Sunday is on the website already. Yeah? So if you want to listen to it, you can go there. We are up to date for the Sundays, not on Thursdays, but I'm going to try to get stuff up there. But anyway, I was saying that. So he wants, Paul himself said, you know, not that I have obtained, but he wants to get to the place in which he can do it himself. And, you know, he wasn't, was pretty good example, though. You know, I mean, people say that he was sick and everything else, but they don't know what they're talking about because, yes, he was sick five times, four or five times, I can't, but all the time he got healed. So it's not that he was there, a poor little Paul, not be able to see. Forget it. He was not just, he was, you know, he had problem with his eye when he was, he saw the brightness of Jesus. And, but then the scales came out of his eye and it was okay. You know, somebody that is blind or not be able to see is not going to be surviving a shipwreck. So forget it. I mean, these people don't know what they're talking about. And he was sick another time in I think Galicia or some other places. And, you know, that's fine, but he got healed. So the fact that some of his people, the people that was training, they weren't getting, you know, needed counseling for to getting healed, doesn't mean anything. You know, it's the same thing as today. I mean, not everybody is at the same place, and not that, especially on those days, not everybody could get the same thing. That's why you needed Paul that was anointed in operating in the gift and going around and healing people and Peter and the others. But not everybody could do that. So, but I believe in the scripture show that God wants, you know, as many as possible to grow in that dimension. And I feel that, you know, the Lord wants me to start teaching some things in that way so that, you know, focusing on that, people can understand and receive and apply it and grow into that dimension. Because it's going to be necessary and needed in the time, the days that are coming. See, when you start operating like Paul did, doesn't matter what's going on around you, you can manage. You know, you can have a shipwreck and you just resolve the whole situation. A viper can bite your hand, you shake it off, and it's gone, and nothing happens. You should be dealt in 15 minutes. So that's God's will and plan on the long run. But it's not going, that's not going to happen just like that. That happens because we have received understanding, because we have the wisdom of God, and we understand the word of God, we appropriated the word of God, and we start, you know, living in by faith and in faith. Okay. And, you know, we saw that he's preparing a remnant. The remnant is, you know, it's not a big number of people the way people say, you know, it's maybe if not too many, but a number is big enough and good enough. Okay, that this percentage of the people that are going to be around are the people that are actually willing to pay the price, willing to work toward it, willing to mature. And that's really the key word that Paul uses, you know, for those that are mature, that, you know, think about these things and just, you know, put yourself in the position to receive. And it just involves decisions, involves steps that we had to take to respond to what the Holy Spirit is telling us, to listen to hear it, to listen to hear him, to to listen, to learn, to obey, and do the work that God wants us to work. Okay, so that's important. And it's so really, you know, I've been talking for a long time, many years, about, you know, faith is a position, it's a decision that we make that determine a position of our heart. Okay, position in our heart, you know, that is based on the word of God, is based on the promises. So what God wants to achieve in our life, what his plan is for us to receive his promises. That is the way we overcome the corruption that is in the world, it says in First Peter. Okay. So that's really the thing that you want to see in our life. And when we understand that, we start cooperating with him to listen. And the more we do and the more we learn, the more we apply, the more results we are going to get, the more evident. I believe some people are trying to do these things already and are getting some results. Okay, so it's working, but I think we can do even much better. That's the beginning. See, it grows bit by bit. You know, it just you develop by growing in understanding, by growing in the word, by making your faith to grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory. So that's the thing we want to do. But it's a position of your heart. So, you know, you have to, for example, as Lucy was saying, you know, the authority of the believer, understanding the authority of the believer is important. But, you know, it's not just the understanding, it's to lining up yourself, your thinking, your positioning with that. Knowing knowledge without actually living it doesn't do anything. That's why it's a decision you have to make. Okay. And, you know, when it talks about faith, it's talking about being fully persuaded. Okay, making a decision to believe God. You make a decision to believe God, and then you know at the beginning you may not necessarily do everything that or be able to have the faith for everything you want to believe, but as you apply it, as you get results, as you get experience, then you know, to the mental knowledge, you get also the development of your heart in that position, in that alignment with the word of God, and it works. That this is really the way. That's the way salvation is manifested. And, you know, and salvation is the plan for God, not just to go to heaven. You know, that's just a religious idea. You know, salvation has to do with things down here as well. If it's not manifested, usually what you manifest in here is going to be corresponding to what you get in heaven. So, you know, that's the thing. You can see it all over the Bible, not in just one place, but, you know, especially in Romans chapter 10, you know, when it talks about how this process of appropriating what God talks to us, the way God speaks to us, how that takes place. Okay, it really is expanding just on the thing I've been sharing now, you know. Romans chapter 10, verse 6 says, you know, but the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? You know, that is to bring Christ down from above. You know, it's not a question of, you know, trying to do spiritual, you know, heavenly things, okay? Or will descend into the abyss, because, and that brings Christ up from the dead. I mean, he did everything that was required. Everything that needed to be implemented has been implemented, and he said it's finished. So the only part we have to do now is not try to get to places. It's just a question of believing what he did. Okay, believing is the key. Faith is believing. Faith is decide to believe and after actually be able to believe. And that's the part, the be able part. So, you know, what does What does it say? Okay, verse 8. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So that is really the basis for it, is the word. Okay, it has to be both in our mouth, that we have to speak it, we have to, you know, believe it, and we have to believe it in our heart. Okay, that's what makes a difference. And then explains, and I think I expanded on this concept a number of times, but I think this is critical, because people just think, you know, just speak the thing. Well, it's more than just confessing stuff. It's, you know, the combination of things. In verse 9 says, you know, for that is, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. See, that's the basis of really appropriating salvation, is appropriating everything that God has made us available to us. Okay, so that, you know, involve healing, involve deliverance, involve, you know, success, you know, everything that you can think of. Peace, prosperity, everything. Okay, so that's the way it works. This is the basis to receive all the promises. Okay, and that is, you know, the confession part, though, you know, the problem that we have is confession. Confess is the wrong thing that religion has passed on for 2,000 years. It's not going to go to somebody and tell your sins, number one. It's not even what, you know, some people believe. It's just confessing the scriptures. You know, it's much more than that, okay? Yeah. The word confess in Greek is, you know, just let me go back here. Okay. Verse 10, there gives the proper direction here. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is really explaining the old concept in great detail. Okay, so you have to believe. And with the word believes, is from to pistis or from pisteo, which actually is the same word of faith. Faith is pistis. So here is the word that comes from that word, which is pisteo. It actually means, you know, to have faith or to believe. Is the same thing. So we at the heart level, you have to believe something. Okay. And really what you believe is the word. Okay. And the word of God, when the problem is said, actually, to say the truth, whatever you believe at the heart level, and you actually confess with your mouth, you are going to get. If you believe you are going to get sick, and you say, I'm getting sick here, and you believe it, I assure you, you're going to get sick. Because that's the way God made you. This is why what we have to confess is not other things. What we have to confess are the promises of God. And the promise of God is not that I'm going to get sick, you know, I'm going to get ill. Whatever you confess and believe in your heart is going to be what you're going to experience. Because God made us that way. It's not that it's just the word. It's you that have the build. We are faith being. Now, we want to call faith the things that we believe in the way God says, the way the word says. Okay, so you have to believe, to have the right thing coming out of you. Okay, to have, you know, to have the right result. Okay, is to believe the word in your heart. That means, you know, believe the word that you are fully persuaded what the word of God says. Instead of depending on the physical things that you look at to determine what you believe. That's what we are trained to do. That's what we end up doing most of the time. That's the natural man do. And we had to learn not to do that because, you know, and that's what I did actually Monday night. The natural man would say, I'm getting sick here. And I said, no way, I'm not going to get sick. And after after I did that and I didn't take less than 5 minutes, all the symptoms were gone. But the enemy made sure that I was having maybe some little things that, like maybe some bit of cough and bit of phlegm and so on, when it actually was nothing else, and get rid of the junk that and the toxin that had been released in my body. You see, people get healed, say, for example, even of cancer or something like that. You know, it doesn't mean that the thing disappears instantaneously and nothing, it is evaporizing into the air. Often what happens, people, you know, the whole thing fall off, or they, you know, lose it through the stool or something like that, and it comes out of their body. And sometimes there is a process that has to take place to remove all the toxin that they got there. That's pretty common. But if they, the moment when they have been healed, they keep believing because there are some symptoms that, you know, that are there, oh, I'm not being healed. Well, they're not going to be healed because they believe in their heart that they have not been healed, and that's exactly what you're going to get. And even after God healed them, they're going to lose it. But they don't understand that truth. And so they end up falling into the deception that our physical senses give us. Now, I want to make sure, you know, as many as possible in our church start to be able to get results for the things that are easier to get. Okay, like a sore throat or a pain or something like that. And learn from that experience how to expand that ability to keep the faith, even after when, you know, may take longer, may not take a moment, or, you know, maybe the enemy find the way to hold on so that you don't get the full manifestation immediately. That doesn't matter. You hold on believing and until the whole thing is gone. I believe that it's possible. I believe that as many as possible should get that. And I'm going to spend time actually teaching how you learn to do that so that you're starting to see the results. You know, I know myself, I've been training that way. In some areas, it's easier to do than other areas. Some beliefs are easier to do than others. But all things are possible with them for the belief. Jesus, he was able to do everything because he had the faith to believe and not to be caught up by the what was happening. The idea is, you know, the idea that one has to believe in the heart and confess with their mouth. I mean, confess, I mean, say within yourself. Doesn't even need to be loud, but you can say it quietly, you can, it doesn't matter. But understanding the word confession, homologeo, means to say the same thing. The same thing of what? The same things that your heart says. So if it's agreeing with the word of God for deliverance and freedom, that's what you're going to experience. If you believe with the word of God, oh, it hasn't worked, that's exactly what you're going to get. You have to get to the place in which you read the word, read the promises, as I believe this is true now, I'm going to take it. Are you with me? Verse 18, just continue the same chapter of Romans chapter 4. That's the basic chapter for that. Says Abraham, who, the word Abraham isn't there. I put it there because I was referring to previous verses. Contrary to hope, in hope believed. so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendant be. So God has said, you know, you shall have many descendants as the stars in the heaven and as the sand on the sea. You know, that's what was the promise. That was a promise that, you know, he heard from God. God spoke to him about that, okay? And he, you know, that hope to get that. Hope, you know, is not, oh, I hope that's going to happen. That is the hope of the world. The hope that we have as believer is a confident expectation. That's what it means. Happy, you know, that is the meaning of that. And a confident expectation became belief, pistis, or faith, was transformed into that. Okay? So, you know, because he held on to that, he just, you know, he made a decision to believe God for what he said, because he didn't have anything else to base on. I mean, that was God's promise to him. So, do you believe the promise, or do you believe that you are 100 years old? That's what he had to deal with. And his wife was too old to conceive anyway. Well, that's what it says the following verse. And not being weak in faith. Okay, so he was strong in faith. Okay. How was he strong in faith? He did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. So you see, he did not consider, I mean, you know, the word there is katanoel, which actually means, you know, did not regard to that physical evidence that was there. He just not considered it, you know. And so he held on to what the promise of God has. He took a position by decision of believing God instead of believing other things. See, this is what God expects from us. That's what God hopes from us. God hopes that we believe him, that we trust him. That's the only thing that he wants from us. Because when we trust him, we end up doing the things he, you know, he tells us to do. When we don't trust him, do the things that we think are going to work and not the things that he said we should do. So if it was Abraham, would have, you know, trusted the fact that, oh, I'm old, there's no way I can get it. The promise of God is just baloney or something. It's a story, you know, I must have had too much, you know, I don't know, wine or pizza or whatever. No, he just made the decision, I don't care. God said to me, I believe God said to me, and I believe it, and I believe that I'm not going to move from that. I don't care if I can hardly walk. I'm almost 100 years old. I'm just, you know, past the time when I was, you know, able to do those things, and my wife too. He just held on. And that was a decision. It was nothing else. Because he was tempted like we are. He was not any different than us. Like you are. Like I am. To trust the enemy that doesn't work. See? And that's the way we manifest what we believe. Because we don't trust what God said. And we trust what we see. Or that's the beginning of staying there, of getting nowhere. So that is, so he says, instead, verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God. So you see, he was in the same position we are all the time when we try to get the promise from God. Okay, he did not waver. How did he not waver at the promise of God? Through unbelief. Okay, he resisted unbelief. He refused. That's another decision he had to make. I refuse to look at my situation. I refuse to look at, you know, that I'm 100 years old or 80 years old or, you know, whatever I am. Are you following me? But you know, it's through unbelief. So you didn't let unbelief. So there are two decisions here. One decision is to believe God's promises. Another decision is to refuse to consider or to believe, you know, unbelief, which actually unbelief is nothing else than believe the opposite of what the Word of God says. You know, the word in Greek is apistis. It's like, you know, non-belief in English. Okay, so it's the same thing. It's the negative for pistis. So it's the opposite of pistis, opposite of faith. Okay, so, you know, by doing that, okay, and, you know, continuing here, okay, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So what does it mean here? You know, he was getting stronger in faith by thanking God, giving glory. Thank you, Lord, for giving this to me. I give you glory and thank you, praise. Hallelujah. I'm going to see. And that, you know, increase their faith. Faith make that faith grow to the place that one day things turn around. And wasn't because he did anything. It was because God moved supernaturally. Okay. He was visited and by, you know, and angels, and they did the job. So it says, you know, strengthening faith, giving glory to God. And as the faith got to the place when he could receive, you know, it says, and verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He's talking about, he is God. Okay, so being convinced. I mean, he just, at the beginning, he made the decision, but, you know, his faith became stronger and stronger by thanking God, by praising God, by glorifying God. That's what giving glory to God is, glorifying God for the promises given him. And the fact that, you know, he trusted him. You cannot glorify God if you don't trust he's going to do it. So he just, God himself, glorifying God, got to the place in which he was fully convinced or fully persuaded, the translation, that he had promised was also able to perform. And that was what pleased God. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Because he said, being fully persuaded, you know, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. So you see, that's the way we get things. You know, our relationship, our righteousness decision is the right decision with God. The proper standing before God, you know, was coming on the other result of these things that I explained before, you know, deciding to believe his word, standing on there and counteracting any unbelief that was determined by looking at the situation, and then holding on and praising God anyway, you know, letting his hope be changed into faith, and from faith, you know, growing this faith to grow to the point that he could be fully persuaded, and the whole thing manifested then. And it was accounted for him as the right thing, doing the right thing before God. So that's the way Abraham did. And we are called the children of Abraham because we are called to operate in the same way. And the children of Abraham, Jesus very clearly, and Paul and others, you know, are not the one in the flesh, you know, the one that descend from Abraham, but are the people of faith. The people that operate the way Abraham operated. See, children of God are the one that operate like God. Children of the devil are the one that operate as the devil, you know, or the same thought and the way idea of the devil. Children of Abraham are the one that work and operate according to the same principle that Adam operated. And just to make sure that we get it, in verse 24 says, but also for us. So, sorry, 23 says, it was not written for his sake alone. It's not just to tell about this story, but it was imputed that was imputed to him. You see, well, that was applied, that was the benefit that he got. But it's also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. You see, the key thing, if people don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, okay, is because they don't believe in the supernatural power of God to operate miracles. If you start believing that Jesus did it, okay, then you put yourself in the position in which, you know, you start to really fully trusting what took place, what happened, and the meaning and the implication that happened there. And that really what, took place, because you understand what was taking place at that time. For verse 25 says, who was delivered because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. So you see, you understand Jesus died and was delivered unto death. He died for our offenses, and he was raised so that we can see that we are justified and we can exercise our faith. We can commit to believe God's promises concerning what he achieved for us. By his stripes, we were healed. And so, you know, we appropriate that, and we know, but it's more than just by his death, we are set free. We are delivered. We are made everything that we need to be made. We are transformed into Jesus' image from faith to faith and from glory to glory. So, you know, that's the basis, okay, in achieving what God wants to do, which is, you know, we saw last week, is to put on the new man and put off the old man. But we don't do it by being legalistic. We don't do it by, you know, do the right thing and not to do the wrong thing. We do it working inside us with the choices we make concerning what we believe and what we expect to happen, our hope, and then to manifest the promises of God. That's the way we do it. We don't do it by effort. We don't do it by behavior modification. We don't do it by trying to be good persons like the people that do it on the flesh, because that way doesn't work. The Old Testament is the manifestation of that. The New Testament applied to the general traditional, the denominational approaches is exactly the same thing. You know, you are saved by works. You are not saved by works. You are saved by faith. You walk by faith. You believe. You take a position. You believe it. You stand on that. You rejected the physical thing. And the more you do that, the more in areas of your life, you know, from the things that you want, the things that you crave, the things that you believe, the things that manifest in your body, including sickness and disease. But that's just an example. But that is a good example because help us to see what happened on the spiritual level as well. See, that's what we are experiencing, what we should experience. And so, you know, our putting off the old man is not just, I'm not going to do this. No, you know, you focus on God's promises and you just believe well for what God said, and you start speaking it, you know, and what you believe, what you speak, you know, and you speak homologeo, you speak the same thing you believe, you're going to be that way. That happens for things you want, things you believe, physical thing, healing, but not just healing. Anything, behavior, everything is a natural manifestation of God's power working in you that is released when your faith is active in operation, and you release your faith through your word, through your position. You believe it, You stand on it and you refuse to believe the other thing. So, legalism in the Old Testament wasn't good enough because, you know, the people that really understood, like Abraham, got it. But it wasn't because they were trying to do the right thing. It was because they were connected with God, hearing from God. Yeah. You know, even David got lots of things happening in his life. He made lots of mistakes too. I mean, you know, it's many times he did stuff that is really bad, you know, like, you know, committing adultery and killing the husband of the woman that he committed adultery with. And, you know, he had lots of, and as a result of that, he had lots of problems. Still, he understood about receiving things by faith, and it's very clear from the Psalms he wrote. And he received many things because he operated also by faith in many ways. Even when he was made the mistakes, he repented and he got forgiven and he started to pray with God. I mean, the thing is, you see, David is the typical example of somebody that, you know, could walk by faith, but also was tempted and fell. And because of the temptation and the folly, he paid the consequences in his life. Could have a much better life if he didn't make those mistakes. So the problem, okay, that now with the New Testament, with the Bible, New Testament, we are equipped with all the information that we need to know what to do, to apply those principles to our life so that we can start walking, understand how to walk by faith, understand how to apply it to our life, understand what we have to do. But, you know, how many people are really listening to that? How many people really experience that, even after they've been exposed to teaching in this area? We are all growing because we are so immersed and so trained in our mind and our, you know, narrow system to think the way the world operates. We are trained from when we are born to believe what we see and to respond logically to the consequences, cause and effect that we have experienced in our, so, you know, in our life. And what, you know, the way spiritual things work, it do not work according to logical consequences. They work completely in way that are unconceivable in logically. This is the thing that, you know, I really got when I had my first vision the Lord gave to me. You know, he just removed all my scientific training that in which I've been trained. He says, look, all that stuff is just junk. It's not the truth. Miracles happen in the past and miracles can happen today. Miracles is the way God works. That blow my mind. I knew that was true. And so, you know, I started making some decisions that were completely crazy from the world point of view. But they were the best decision I ever made before. You know, within a week, I quit from my position, you know, the work at the National Research Council. And, you know, that I worked so hard for so many years to train to be able to do those kind of things. And he started to work supernaturally right there, right then. Okay? I mean, the same day that I was sharing with somebody, I think today or, yeah, I think so. The same day that I decided that, I made a decision right away. I talked with my wife and She agreed that I could do it because I don't know, I'm not completely crazy. I just married a child, so I better look after them. So we had to find some way to do it. But, you know, I asked her and she agreed that I would quit and go back to university. In order to, you know, show me that I should go back to be able to be in contact with people, because I was living in an ivory tower away from people and I needed to be in contact with people. I didn't want to contact, you know, I like math because math is clean. People aren't clean. People are a mess. And I didn't want to have anything to do before. But when I realized that, I changed completely my mind. I wanted to get in touch with people. And I said, well, the best way is to go in some kind of form of business to deal with people all the time. I wasn't thinking about getting into the ministry then. But it was for God that I was doing that. And the same day, I picked up the phone, called University of Ottawa, said, you know, what one has to, when I, is the application for the MBA? And they said, oh, today it closes. So I picked up the car and I went to the University of Ottawa. I marked up, I signed my application. And when my boss came back from Europe, that he was been there to present some papers or some conference, I told him I was going to quit because I wanted to go back to university and take MBA. He looked at me. I mean, I had come here to Ottawa September 15. Of that year. This was 2 weeks before Christmas, and actually when he came was about a week or so after Christmas of the same year. Okay, I goes to him and says, look, I'm planning to quit. I'm going to, you know, difficult enough to get that kind of job. And he looked at me, I said, oh, it doesn't matter. You can go full time on the courses. We pay you for your full salary. You already did enough research for more than a year here anyway. So work has really been good. And I end up getting full salary and be able to be full-time student. When you have time, come here, work with us. So that's, I was looked after. And that, if you don't call that a miracle, I don't know what you call a miracle. Okay, I mean, people don't give you the money without doing anything, but he did. Not only that, but at the same time, the university gave me a scholarship because my mark was always high. And what happened is I felt really guilty because I was taking the money away from these poor students that don't have any income, and I have here, you know, money from a full-time job. So I went to the dean of the faculty of, you know, business. At the University of Ottawa, and I said, look, I got this scholarship, but I got, you know, NRC pay me anyway, so I want to give the money back. And the, you know, the dean looked at my face and said, you got the money, you keep it. So I end up having more money than I had when I would be working at NRC. You know, those are miracles, okay? And that's the way God works. I mean, you don't do any work, and he does it for you when you make the choices that he wants you to make. I mean, that was a big, I mean, that was, if you want, from a logical point of view, was completely crazy. Okay, it didn't make any sense from a logical point of view. After I studied like crazy, you know, for all this year, you know, I was dropping everything and starting something completely new. Well, within a year, I got the job with the government as a consultant in their computer system and system analysis and that kind of stuff, because I was working with computer all the time. And my salary doubled overnight. So, I mean, people that says God doesn't want us to prosper, they don't know what they're talking about. Okay? That's another story. So the idea is, what I'm saying is, you know, When we start trusting God, God starts working supernaturally. All things are possible to them that believe. But you know, if you go by what your physical senses tell you, you are never going to be able to see the power of God manifested. You have to, you know, deal with the unbelief, and it's not necessarily unbelief. You see, it's believing what you see. Believing what you see when it contradicts with the word of God is unbelief. But it's really belief, because you believe something, but you believe not what God says, so you're taking not God's side. I could tell you hundreds different stories of this type that I actually went through. And even then, it's not enough, because I think we need to keep growing that way. It takes time to demolish all the, you know, framework of thoughts and idea that we got trained into. Okay. But this is what, you know, we can see in the Old Testament, the children of God going through in the wilderness. What God was trying to train them to believe him, but they didn't, they refused to believe him. Says, no, you talk to Moses, and we are going to do what he says to do. But they always was complaining about what God, Moses was telling them to do. So even when somebody tell you, you know, you still base yourself. Oh, you know, how are we going to have all the water to drink for all the cows and them for us? How are we going to have food to eat when why don't we stay in Egypt in the bondage? You see, this is what happens to us. We stay in Egypt instead of really accepting what God wants to do and start exercising our faith. But that doesn't mean to be crazy completely. I mean, you need to, you know, take a step at a time and see how God directs you and make the right decision. And when it's the right decision, it's going to work. Are you following me? See, this is a process. It's not, and it's an experience from experience to experience, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. The experience produces the faith to grow in the next step. You know, you push it a bit, you know, you stretch it a bit more. After you stretch it a bit more, you got more experience, you trust God more, you can take a bigger step. And you keep doing it, but sometimes you get regress too, because you're not always the same place. Sometimes you can maybe maybe backslide a bit or whatever. Sometimes you go back and forth because there are some areas that are difficult to break through. But that's okay. You just keep going. Okay. The thing is, you know, we had to learn to see things, you know, according to God's word instead of according to what our eyes see or what we can see in the physical, which is really, you know, what the carnal mind is focused on, because it's depending on the experiences and circumstances that are just physical, and there is nothing spiritual about them. Well, there is spiritual, but it's not, you know, with God. Okay. But they, you know, the children of Israel should be our example, and, you know, in the path and the walk that we had to take. We had to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. That scripture helps us enormously to understand how for us to operate. And, you know, I want to, with some way, help you to get some experiences through. You start with the understanding, then start to trying to apply this principle within yourself, you know, in a wise way, you know, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, not just imposed and think, you know, more than what you can do. Just take a step at a time, just let the Holy Spirit guide you, and he's going to show you the next step. The people that, you know, in the Old Testament in the wilderness. Okay, they couldn't see, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15 says, but even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. See, they, a veil, you see, the veil is covering their view, their perception, you know. So there is a spiritual eyes that they cannot see. See, evidently, the heart has eyes to be able to see, okay? And you see, their heart cannot see. And we have to open up our eyes to be able to see in the really what God wants us to see. Is you know, and you know, and that's important to understand. This, you know, we cannot see, you know, looking at, you know, with our analysis, with our logic, our you know, looking at the physical thing and be able to see the things that are proper. Okay, these things, you know, when we start figuring it out in our mind, we make it much more complicated because we are trying to figure out all the detail. We don't need to figure out anything. We have to listen to God, get revelation, and then things start to happen. All of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks a bit about that, and we may talk a bit more about it. But this is really, I believe, that is going to be very important for the days we are in, because people won't be able to make it by logic unless we are going to, you know, grow to walk by faith. The situation is going to be difficult to be handled. You need supernatural power to deal with the supernatural events that are going to be taking place around us. And that is the way that we are going to be able to do it. That's why I really think this is something that we have to start experiencing before. Prepare ourselves. You see, Jesus coming, you know, the remnant being prepared for him, you know, involved. He's not just everybody calls himself a Christian, is the ones that actually are realizing this and starting to really become his disciples, becoming, you know, trained in walking by faith and not by sight, because the physical things that are not going to be there, because they're needed. And the enemy is going to arrive with people that are not going to be, you know, operating in the spirit. Okay. You know, there is a lot of place in which we can read that in the New Testament. But, you know, for example, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, you know, says, I say, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentile walk in the futility of their mind. See, talks about that, you know, your logic, your mind is going to be just futility, useless. It's not going to satisfy, to enable you to deal with the things in the world. That's the bottom line. I can be any more clear than that, or more specific than that. Okay. And the thing is, you know, that's the way the people in the world operate. That's what they're trained to do. Doesn't matter how smart they are. You know, the smarter they are, sometimes the worse they get. You know, I remember, you know, lots of very smart people when I was doing my work in science. They were smart. I mean, definitely they were able to do some certain thing. But if there was somebody that they messed up life, that's where them. They have absolutely no any brains to do the right thing. And these are the ones that supposedly should tell others what to do. It's a joke. So I really think that, the Jesus said again, it's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, I cannot send, I will not send the Holy Spirit to you. And you need the help. You need the one that is there with you to help you. But, it doesn't do any good if it's there with us and we don't learn to listen to it, because we are focused so much on the physical thing, on the things around us. I mean, we have a helper there that can get us to the victory, get us to the, find the solution for us. And we don't do it. We do our own solution. And then we complain that things don't go the way they should. Well, we are like the children of Israel in the desert there. They try to solve their own thing, their own way, and they always got into trouble. They are an example for us, so that we may learn to walk in victory instead of defeat. So, let's see here. I'm going to read another scripture here. This is the following verse. That I read, the verse I read was saying here, this I say, therefore I testify in the Lord. So, it's just not this idea. This is really a revelation from God speaking to us, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. That means, the one don't believe in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. You see, the problem is the heart. When the heart is blind, okay, then they cannot see. And the reason why the heart is blind is because the veil is in front of their eyes that the enemy has put there. And so being alienated from the life of God, they give us all the direction, and their understanding is not there. They're ignorant. They don't see anything. Their heart cannot believe the right thing. The only way to get the right thing is through the word. Okay. And, when we are trained through their mind, we are not going to be able to see these things. We are not going to be able to experience the supernatural power of God. Okay, I think we've talked long enough. covered a number of areas I think that are important. I'd like to, develop more on this. In a very practical way, really how to do certain things to release, for example, faith in different areas, how to, exercise and make it operate, how to allow that to manifest and not to be tricked into that. Once in a while I speak about this stuff, but I don't think that the eyes have to be open to be able to really see what I'm saying. And, the only way for you to actually experience it is actually to apply it, to start experiencing victory in a little area, little victories, little supernatural victory here and there, and that they grow. And, but you learn by doing. Because you have to start walking in the spiritual dimension and not in the flesh. Because when you walk in the spiritual dimension, you get retrained into spiritual things instead of being, trained only in physical things. That means in carnal things. They are not necessarily sinful, but just they're physical. Bigamy is sinful too, because you know, you can start distorting things and you get completely off. But anyway, I think I'm open for questions.
I have a question, like walking in the spiritual dimension, as you just mentioned, simply means to get the mind off the physical things. Okay.
Well, it means
thank God for things that are working out. Thank God for things, even if they don't quite work out right away, you know, they'll work out later on.
It has to be based on the word.
Oh yeah.
The Holy Spirit, you had to connect with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to guide you and give you the information that you need and give you revelation that you need. And you do that by connecting with them. That's why Jesus said it's, you know, profitable for me to go away. You know, right. I mean, I go back to that scripture. I'm going to go back to that scripture another 1,000 times because I don't think it's enough. It's the connection with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you go around making decisions on stuff that you think that you know and actually are mistakes. And that's where often the problem comes about. That people think, you know, they think that they are on some place and they aren't there. And so they don't get the result. And then you know, the stuff doesn't work. Yes, because you were working the right stuff. You were wrongly. You were working in your mind, you know, thinking that you're going to be dealing with spiritual thing, when instead reality, you know, you are using your logic and your conclusion that didn't make any sense spiritually, from a spiritual point of view. So, yeah, the Holy Spirit is the key.
Is it just like it's not a feeling, because your feelings are based on issues of the world? So how do you know?
Oh, well, you learn. Go to the word. Just let the word minister to you. Just there is no rush. There is no, you know, it is going to show you. You seek and you shall find. So you start seeking, you know, and it says everyone is seeks finds. So, you know, yeah. Can you be wrong? Absolutely. Yes, that's the problem. That if you do that in the flesh, you're going to be wrong. Quite likely, you're going to fail. So, you can learn that even from that. When you go wrong, then you know, okay, that wasn't it. That was something else I had to listen to. But the thing is, it speaks to you when your heart is cleaned from the wrong stuff. That's all. You go to the word, let the word minister to you, just listen to it, allow the truth in you to reveal itself to you, and through the word, stay in the word. The word cleans you up, and as you get cleaner and cleaner, then the word in the Holy Spirit becomes easier and easier to listen.
I can give you an example of something that is very simplistic, and I don't know if it's based on the word, but I took the wrong turn with my car and I got upset because I just hit the red light, and I don't know why I was in a hurry. So I backed up and I almost went to a snowbank, and I thought I scratched my car, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. And I told the Lord I was sorry because I'm the one who's putting myself in suffering. And by you know, I thought I damaged this eye, but I didn't. So things like that, I say, the Lord, I'm sorry. But there's a host of things behind that I have to look into. I have to read more scriptures.
One has to meditate on the scriptures. One has to focus on the word. One has to focus on the word so that the word becomes alive.
Yeah, I know a few by heart, but not too many.
Yeah, but one scripture is enough power to change the world.
Oh, yeah.
So one piece of logos has enough power to change our life. So that's
another thing I find very difficult is when I work, workers at my workplace are an example. Nobody, like, if they were believing in God the way we do, I'm sure they would talk about God, but...
But, you know, that has nothing to do with you.
But that's, you know...
That's not your work. Your walk is your walk. You just, before you can do any other thing, you had to do your walk. Forget about thinking about where the others are. Doesn't make any difference whatsoever. They can be better, they can be worse. That doesn't make, you know, it's you dealing with God yourself.
Right, so on. I got it.
Ignore completely what's going on with the others and just think about yourself to start with, because if you don't fix yourself first, you can do anything anyway. We can only give what we got. And so, you know, lots of people try to do lots of stuff and end up doing lots of religion, nothing else, and doesn't do them any good anyway. You're not going to get any brownies with God because they are doing it, their stuff, and not God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the key thing is forget about, you know, the things, you know, that you just start spending time with God and go to the Word. I mean, Jesus said it. My Word dwell, let the Word dwell in you. And, you know, you dwell in me and you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. So that's where the thing, you know, bit by bit. But, you know, if just the simple thing I said before about, you know, believe that Jesus did what he did for you. And, you know, he paid, he died, was resurrected. You just believe that that was the real truth and that was for you. You start appropriating just that truth there. You start confessing it, I'm sure, Lord, because of what he did, and you're going to, the whole thing is going to peel off from you. The flesh is going to peel off.
Okay.
That's the only, you know, that's the only central idea that you have to spend time on, because that's the only thing that counts, because if you don't have that, you don't have anything.
To believe what Jesus did. Yeah, that's the story.
To believe what he did, what he achieved.
What do you achieve?
For you. It doesn't mean. So you have to receive that and believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth. I mean, you have to agree with that. You don't need to go around even repeating it to anybody. You have to just agree. And when you confess, I mean, when you homologeo, when you say the same thing inside yourself, that of that truth, you know, fully with your heart believing what you're saying, that's going to start working and produce enormous results in your life. It brings salvation. I mean, breaks the bondages all over the place.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it has made a difference for many years.
Yeah, but, you know, there is a lot there. There is a lot there. There is a lot of layers of... victory that comes just on that scripture.
Yeah.
Anybody got anything tonight?
Hey, Pastor, I have a question.
Go ahead. I like to hear that.
Would it be better to pray in tongues for someone, an unbeliever, if you don't know what to pray for them? Like, I know that you have to pray that God would bring them to salvation.
Yeah.
Or would it be better?
Well, I mean, there is, you know, praying for an unbeliever, there is more, it's not just praying for salvation, it's a pray, you know, what you can do, what, you know, something happens so that they minister to them or whatever. There's lots of things. So, you know, the Holy Spirit can show some specific, but, you know, that what does the scripture say? You know, Romans 8:26 there, you know, that the Spirit makes intercession for our weaknesses. Okay, so that doesn't only pray, is we, you know, not just for others, but even for ourselves. Okay, so that we know what to do. I mean, to me, the most important thing about praying, I mean, God has done everything already. We don't need to ask him thing. What we need to do is to for us to get it, for us to hear it, and then to apply it. What I've been talking about is really the fact that we don't need to ask for a miracle. We need to get to the place in which we can receive the miracle or somebody else can receive the miracle. So if you hear how to get there, then we have to, you know, we need to get relation. That's the most important thing. It just doesn't happen poof like that.
Okay.
Happen because we know we had the wisdom to know. And maybe, you know, is to say a specific word to a person or is for something specific that has to happen for that person. And we can pray that, you know, even it's not us, somebody else does. But, you know, praying in tongues makes some things happen because we don't pray. The Spirit makes intercession for us. So in our ignorance, in our inabilities and so on. So praying in tongues is a good thing, but it doesn't stop there. You know, that's the beginning. Sometimes we even get specific, you know, we should get the specific information. And that generally happens afterwards. When we finish praying in tongues, maybe an hour later, the following day or whatever, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But because we have prepared, and the thing is worked in our spirit, and our spirit start to minister to our heart, and we end up getting because we transfer. See, our spirit is in communion with God if we are really praying in tongues that, you know, in the Holy Spirit. So if we are praying in tongues in the Holy Spirit and in communion with God, you know, he has all the information that anybody needs. The stuff that we don't know, we open ourselves up to him, And that's what it says, that scripture. Okay. He we pray for our infirmity so that we can receive the things that we don't know.
Thank you very much.
That's a really good scripture, you know, that one there. We should think about it because Romans 8:26, because, you know, we had to think about the implications. So then, you know, as you believe that, then your faith start working in that direction. See, this is a promise, isn't it? So it's one of the promises that tells us what to expect. So that gives us the hope. And then, you know, we get more into that and the Holy Spirit brings to us things as we are doing it and we can, our faith grows and we expect, you know, the same process that Abraham did, we go through for whatever we are doing.
Mm-hmm. That clarifies things for me.
Yeah. So that helped. That's helpful. See that any most scriptures, if we take the time to look at them and see the implication, what we can derive from them, we can find strength and understanding that we can actually practically apply to us. That is one of the examples of which we can actually draw a lot of help in the practical way, how to, for example, pray, why should we pray in tongues, what to expect when we pray in tongues, you know, how God is going to work things out when we pray in tongues, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's one scripture. All the others, there's so many of them that we have been, you know, reading tonight. Like, for example, you know, believe, you know, the Lord Jesus, and, you know, really it's not just believing the Lord Jesus, doesn't explain really the thing. You know, you believe the Lordship of Jesus, his power is believe it with your heart and you confess it with your mouth. So, you know, you just, you know, you say yes, and he's my Lord, and he's, you know, so you start entering into that space that those words are already, you know, developing in your mind and in your heart so that your heart can receive them, absorb them, and manifest them.
Mm.
So even just that scripture, I mean, just knowing the basic things that people just pray, you know, and they don't even know most of the time what they're talking about, But, you know, when they really look at that scripture and they start applying it to themselves and start seeing the way it works, that's going to produce enormous results.
Okay. That's very good. Thank
you
so much.
Is that clear? Is, you know,
yes,
I mean,
it's clear.
Everybody is getting that.
Yeah.
Okay. See, that one makes a difference. This is why is, you know, the meditation that we do on the scripture is nothing else than apply them the proper way. See what is there. Okay, be open to the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. You know, listen, questions. You know, not doing an analysis or logic and so on. Try to do that. You can start there, but this doesn't stop there. You know, is when the Holy Spirit, the Helper, come to help. That's the thing we had to learn to do. We had to be connected with the Holy Spirit because He is our solution. Nothing else is going to work.
Amen.
Yes, that's good. Amen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's, and you, and if you that's, consider, if you consider the fact that, you know, for 2,000 years, most nobody understood anything, no matter what big theologians they were, about the Holy Spirit. Only recently, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to be, is poor in a new way. You know, in the last day, I will put my spirit upon all flesh. I mean, that's the story. Okay, so now it's happening. Now it's happening to a degree that never happened before.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
Okay, and so now there is revelation that comes in a way that has never been before there, and that, you know, we have to take the benefit of what Jesus said. You know, it's better for me to go, that I'm sticking around there with you is not even comparable with me being, you know, with the Holy Spirit coming to you. And we have to really believe that, not just,
a lip service to it.
Yeah, not just say, well, you know, well, it would be nice if Jesus was here. Well, I'm sorry. If Jesus was here, you wouldn't have the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. But most of the people who say, oh, it would be nice if Jesus was here. Well, I'm sorry. You know, he said that it's better he is not here.
Mm-hmm.
See how warped our mind is?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not scriptural. But everybody will fall into that mistake because really, okay, the Holy Spirit, he said, is better than for me to be here. So why we say the opposite? Because we have an image of that is a religious image that is not what he was saying to us.
Mm-hmm.
See, but to be able to come to this conclusion, you have to have revelation of that truth because it's there. It's been there for 2,000 years. Why nobody talks about that?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That is, I'm giving some examples, okay, to demonstrate certain things in a practical way, they're going to make a difference in the way you think about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I understand what you're saying.
Well, you see, I started from where you were asking, and I'm, you know, I'm moving in expanding that idea in applying it in different ways. You know, and for example, I mentioned, you know, two or three scriptures, and now I put them together. We're probably more tonight, quite a few of them, okay, so that one see how to actually apply them.
Yeah.
Okay. What you should do, what the process you should have in reading the scripture. It's not used to read a chapter and think that you're going to get anything. What you have to do, you know, read slowly, more slowly, and more slowly even than that, because otherwise you cannot going to get anything.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you get anything that only what you heard before, and it's nothing, you know, it's not really going to be life changing. You want something when you go to the Word that changes your life.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And the power is there to do that.
Yes.
Mm. On just one scripture can change your life. Actually, one scripture should change your life all the time if you are ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Very good.
God.
It becomes really exciting.
Yes, it is.
To start experiencing that and actually living it, because then you start really be able to live by faith, although we always do only up to a certain point, but at least you start developing how to walk that way.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Should we close or any other thing?
The teaching is very interesting. Thank you, Pastor Mauricio. Amen.
I'm trying to.
We have to be connected with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. And understand how to do that.
Absolutely. Because Jesus, he lives inside us, so he's always there.
He's there all the time. Okay? I mean, that's why the world doesn't know him, but we know, because Jesus said, he dwells in us. So he's there all the time, and he's there when we need help.
Yeah.
Okay, that's another idea. You see, he's the helper. So if he's the helper, when you need help, you know where to go. Okay? Yeah. You go to the Holy Spirit. You help. You open up to the Holy Spirit. You call on the Holy Spirit, you ask the Holy Spirit. And then, you trust it, and it's the right time. He gives it to you.
Amen. Like today, I was reading the scripture, and the scripture is, if we abide in him. So I stopped myself, like, if we abide in him. The word if is very important.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you.
Amen.
Nicole, you like to close in prayer?
Okay. I just want to thank you, precious Father God, for the teaching that we received tonight. Thank you for the blessing. You bless us with your word, Father God. And I just give you all the honors, the praise, and the glory. And I ask you, Father God, to help us to meditate and not only to meditate, but to understand and just to receive everything that we received tonight through the teaching. And I ask you, Father God, to bless us with that and to bless every one of us and bless our family. And thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for this